for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This tape is The Purpose of Tongues by Reverend W.L. Duncan, a minister of joy and deliverance in the Holy Ghost.
Our study today will be on tongues. Reading from Isaiah, the 28th chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing." Truly, in the realms of daily life with all its weariness and toil, we need refreshing. Since the mind does not direct the praying, nor does it understand, we can therefore relax and be refreshed in the joy of the Lord when we pray in other tongues. Today, we are going to consider several reasons why we should speak in other tongues. Many people today will say, well, is it just to be blessed? Is it just to have another experience? And actually, what does speaking in other tongues accomplish? If you will follow closely to the teaching today and write down the scriptures that we are going to give you, it will give you an understanding of the value of speaking in other tongues and will certainly show to us that it is more than just for a blessing from the Lord. Number one, we read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." Now, according to the Word of God, when we come together in what most people would call a church service, and I choose to call it a gathering of the believers in the name of the Lord, that when we come together, that it should be more than just a one-man ministry. It should be more than a one-man rule, which we have that is so predominant in so many of our churches today. But Paul the Apostle said, when you come together, he said, every one of you hath a psalm. He said, every one of you hath a doctrine. Every one of you hath a tongue. Every one of you hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, everyone that is saved today, everyone that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost should be able to give out and to bless others. And the more you will bless others, the more the Lord will pour in unto you of His spiritual blessings, and you will find a lift in the Lord. Now, the gift of speaking in other tongues should grow and mature. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you've only spoken just two words in tongues or three words in tongues, thank the Lord for that. But move on in and exercise the gift of tongues that God has given you by the Holy Ghost. You can choose to speak in other languages. You can choose to speak more than in just the words that you have used when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So many times when a person receives the baptism, people will say, oh, so-and-so received a wonderful baptism, or so-and-so did receive a very good baptism. But let me say to you today, there's only one baptism in the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is wonderful. And many times people will say that so-and-so received a good baptism or a wonderful baptism because they spoke very fluently, they were very exhilarating in their experience, and somebody else was very quiet before the Lord as they received the Holy Ghost, and maybe spoke just two or three words. But it's the same baptism, no matter if you spoke two words, or no matter if you spoke many, many different languages, as you were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So whether you received two words, or 150, or 300 words, the baptism is still the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as you will choose to yield your tongue, as you will choose to speak another tongue, then the Holy Ghost, or the gift of tongue, will mature through your life. Number two, what purpose actually is speaking in other tongues? We read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto himself, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." All right, secondly, When you speak in other tongues, you speak directly unto God. No person understands this but God himself. And therefore, when you speak in other tongues, your praising or your praying, whatever it may be in the realm of the Spirit, will go unhindered because nobody, not even the devil, can block what you have said because you are speaking unto God, and no person understands that but God himself. And saints of God, how important it is that we exercise the gift of speaking in other tongues, because as we pray unto the Lord and as we pray directly unto him, realizing that our prayers are going unhindered, they will be answered, because it is the prayer of faith that God will always answer. This reason it is so important to get beyond of what you understand in the natural, because when you speak in the natural, the devil can also understand in the natural, but he can never understand in the realm of the Spirit. So you take your scripture and mark 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in another tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Then in 1 Corinthians 14:14 we read, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Therefore we notice that when we speak in another tongue, when we pray in another tongue unto God, that it is our spirit that is praying. Now, saints of God, the prayer of faith will always be answered. Many times when we get down to pray and we pray in the natural, we pray for this, we pray for our son, we pray for our daughter, which is fine, we pray for our family, we pray for our churches, which is fine. But when we pray in the natural, our prayers are so limited because we're just thinking many times in selfish realms. But as we will get beyond praying in the natural, as we will allow the Spirit of God to pray through us, know thou this in this tape, that the Spirit of God always prays the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will always be answered, and no other prayer. Listen to this. The prayer of faith will always be answered. The prayer of faith will be prayed unhindered. And this is the reason it is so important for us to pray in the realm of the Spirit of God, because it's not our natural that is praying, but it's the Spirit of God that is making intercession for us. And I believe that you would see many of your family come into the household of faith. We would see much of the powers of darkness bound. We would have authority in the name of the Lord. If we would get out of the realm of the natural, for Paul said, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They receive not of the things of God. And oh, how hard it's been for the believers to come to the place, because we're used to thinking in the natural. We're used to acting in the natural. We're used to sitting in the natural. We're used to receiving in the natural. And when we get to the place that the Spirit of God prays through us, then we will see the powers of darkness bound in the name of the Lord. We will see the liberation of the saints as we've never seen before, because it will be our spirit that is praying and not the natural self of the person. All right, number three. When we speak in other tongues, it is a supernatural means of fellowship with the Lord himself. This is not to be cast aside lightly, for we speak secrets to our bridegroom in a language not understood by our intellect, but we understand in the Spirit. When we commune with the Lord in tongues, Satan, as we have spoken before, is shut out completely. Saints, today, how we need to take time to be holy. How we need to take time to wait upon the Lord. How we need to take time to fellowship and to commune with the Lord. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, set from the throne of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. And as we have just spoken and said, when we speak in other tongues, we speak secrets to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a language not understood by our intellect, but we understand it in the realm of our spirit, for we speak mysteries unto the Lord. Don't forget that you need that daily secret communion and fellowship with the Lord. It's wonderful to be with a group of people praising God. It's wonderful to be with a group of people that are moving into the things of God. But nothing, absolutely nothing, will take the place of our secret communion with the Father. All right, number four, when we speak in other tongues, it actually edifies the personal believer You can edify yourself by speaking in other tongues, for we read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. All right, this is the only gift of the Spirit in the nine gifts of the Spirit that a person can actually edify or build up himself. This is the only gift that is given according to the Word of God that will edify you, that you will be able to move in and be a recipient to move into the other gifts of the Spirit. Our spiritual faculties are quickened as we pray in other tongues. All right, what does the word edify mean? The word edify means to build up. It means to build up yourself so that you'll be able not only to speak another tongue, but you'll be edified so that you can interpret. You'll be edified to pray in the Spirit, as we've already spoken. You will be edified to testify, feeling and knowing that the unction of the Holy Ghost is coming forth as you do so. You will be edified to preach. You will be edified to teach. You will be edified to sing in the Spirit. That's the reason many times before a person will prophesy or before a person will speak forth an interpretation that has been given by a tongue's message that has come, many times you will hear them speaking in another tongue first. Now, this is not a tongue's message that they're giving, but this is building up, or this is edifying themselves in the realm of the Spirit. And when you choose to move in and to speak another tongue, then it's easier for you to move out by faith and to interpret. It's easier for you to move out by faith and to sing in the Spirit. It's easier for you to move out by faith and to prophesy in the name of the Lord. And that's the reason many times when you get down to pray, heavens may seem as brass. You may feel that God is so far from you. But as you will get down and as you will start to speak another tongue, soon this, you build up the spiritual faculties, and soon you begin to move in and to pray in the realm of the Spirit, to sing in the realm of the Spirit, to loosen in the realm of the Spirit, to bind in the realm of the Spirit. Why? Because you have been edified by speaking in other tongues. Oh, thank God for the Word of God, where Paul said that he that speaketh in another unknown tongue edifieth himself. And God has given the gift of tongues that you may be edified, that you may be lifted, that you may move into greater dimensions. Now, many times people say, oh, I would like to be able to prophesy like Paul. I would like to be able to be a prophet like Elijah and like Elisha and so forth. But I want to tell you, saints of God, as you will begin to move in and edify yourself daily, you shouldn't wait just till you come to the house of God. You shouldn't wait just till you get in a house meeting. You shouldn't wait just till you get with a group of people. But every day you should exercise speaking in other tongues before God when you first get up in the morning, so that you will be edified to meet the powers of darkness that you're going to face during the day. That you will be able to allow the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God which is in and which will come forth through you, as you will be lifted, as you will be edified by speaking in other tongues. Do not take the gift of tongues lightly. Many times people say, well, it's all right for some, but I really don't need to speak another tongue. Saints of God, you do need to speak in other tongues. And as we're living in these days, when there's so much darkness, when there's so much turmoil, when there's so much division, when there's so much misunderstanding, when there's so much to detract a person away from the things of God, you need to realize the value of speaking in other tongues and realize that whatever God has given, that He's given for a purpose. He's given for your benefit. And as you realize the benefit of speaking in other tongues to edify yourself, then when you are confronted with something in a moment's time, you will know how to get through to God, because you have already been edified in the realm of the Spirit by speaking in other tongues. All right, number 5, and this one is so important. When you get to the place that you pray in other tongues and the Spirit of God prayeth through you, it will eliminate selfishness in our praying. In Romans 8 and 26 we read, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now this is truly praying in the Spirit. And we mentioned about this just a short time ago, but I want to emphasize this point here, that speaking and praying in other tongues eliminates selfishness in our praying. You know as well as I know, and we have to be fair in admitting it, that many times when we get down to pray, that 90% of our praying is vain babbling. Many times 90%, perhaps 95% of our praying in the natural is selfish praying, because we are praying about that naturally which concerns us, which concerns our family. But many of you that have been in our meetings have heard me say many times that a move of God and the real move of the Holy Ghost will take us beyond the needs of our own family. It will take us beyond the needs of the four walls of our church. It will even take us beyond the needs of our organization, of our church that we have backed so many years. And it will make us big in the things of God. And this is the reason, after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that the word came forth to choose ye 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to take over the business matters of the church and the congregation. Oh, today, how we need men and women, not only that just speak in other tongues, which is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we need men and women and young people and children today who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, because it is impossible to be full of the Holy Ghost and to be selfish in your thinking. It is impossible to be full of the Holy Ghost and just be concerned about your family and the needs of your family and no one else. It is impossible to be full of the Holy Ghost and not be able to want to reach out and to impart to others that which God has given you by the Holy Ghost. How we need to get to the place that we not only pray in the natural. People have heard me say many times that I absolutely don't go for prayer requests in a gospel service, and people misunderstand that to begin with. And you know as well as I know that many times when prayer requests are given, people will say, well, pray for this one. It's the same request that has been given for months and for even for years at a time. And when we will boil it right down to the point, it's actually many times selfish prayer requests, when instead of pastors and evangelists and missionaries, instead of saying, is there a prayer request to somebody have a need? Does somebody have a prayer request? If we will give time to the Holy Spirit to move, if we would take time to wait upon the Holy Ghost until the Holy Ghost would begin to pray through us and make intercession through us with groanings which cannot be uttered, the Spirit of God would begin to pray through us. We would see our families come into the family of God. We would see them loosened from the shackles of sin and darkness. We would see miracles take place in the name of the Lord. We would see nations and kingdoms beginning to become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ now. We would see God begin to rule and to minister through the leaders of our land. We would see nations and kingdoms come to God in a moment's time, because the Spirit of God, as we've already told you, always prays the prayer of faith. May God remove us from selfishness. May God remove us from pettiness. May God remove us from those things which have so bound us and have made us so selfish in our thinking. Every time God moves, He has to give a new heart and a new spirit, as Ezekiel spoke about. Because even as believers and people that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after we've served the Lord for a long time, our spirits get to the place that we can't believe God for revival. Our own spirits get to the place that we can't believe God for healing. People that have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost have tarried and waited upon the Lord so long, their own spirit gets to the place that it's impossible for them to believe God that they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Saints of God, we're living in the day that we have to allow the Lord to give us a new heart and a new spirit, so that the Spirit of God will be able to pray through us, so that again that we will see revival in our time. Again, we will see God move upon the young people. Again, we will see God move upon the teenagers. Just recently, as we were in San Francisco, California, holding meetings, there, a group of us went down into hippie land to the Haight-Ashbury district, and we began to move in. And as we began to move in, we knew that nothing would touch these young people and these middle-aged people except the moving of the Spirit of God. And as we went there, we were so challenged by the Holy Ghost to move in and begin to sing in other tongues. And as we did, the Spirit of God began to move upon them. There were at least 2,000 or 3,000 in attendance. And as we began to sing in other tongues, they were moved upon. Why? Because it did not reach just the intellectual part of them, but the Spirit of God, the breath of God, began to move upon them in a supernatural way, so that they would be able to be receptive to spiritual things, because we were not moving in the realm of the natural. saints of God. We've brought programs. We've brought entertainment. We've brought everything under the sun, trying to reach the young people, trying to reach the teenagers, trying to reach the adults. And the adults are as sick of it as the young people. And this is the reason in Hippie Land and other areas like that, they're searching, they're looking for something, because the natural has not appeal to them. Everything has been such a form of hypocrisy, such a form of this, trying to bring something religious unto them. And the world is sick of religion today. The church is sick of religion today. And if many pastors will be honest about it, they are sick and tired of religion today. We are tired of trying to reach people in the realm of the natural. And may we get to the place that we will allow the Spirit of God to have right away in our lives, that we will allow the Spirit of God to have right away in our services, that we will yield to the Spirit of God. And I realize that many times when the spirit of travail will come upon a person, when they begin to make intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered, it's not very tasteful to the natural ear. Many times the flesh, even the flesh in believers, will rebel against it. But saints of God, we need to get to the place that we will crucify the flesh, that we will put the flesh low, and that we will allow the Spirit of God to make intercession through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then and there will the strongholds of the enemy be brought low. Listen, I want to tell you that our weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. And you know as well as I know that the strongholds of the enemy have become stronger and stronger across America, in other countries, in Canada, and around the world. Because we, even as Pentecostal believers, have not allowed the Spirit of God to operate in and through us. Listen, if we get to the place that we would call, instead of a 3 or 4 day conference, that we would be voting this one in and voting somebody else out and trying to promote this Sunday school program and promote the youth program and promote something else. If we would get together for several days and just give ourselves, yield ourselves over to the Spirit of God. If we would allow the spirit of intercession, the spirit of travail to come upon us again with groanings that we cannot understand in the natural, the strongholds of the enemy would be brought low. The church would come to the place that she's without spot or wrinkle. We would be getting ready for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to take the Spirit of God to move in a supernatural way. But thanks be unto the name of the Lord. Joel the prophet spoke, and he said that the Lord said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And we're living in the day when everything is being shaken. The very foundations of everything that we held so dear to us are being shaken today. And many people are getting to the place, we don't have this crutch to lean upon. We don't have another crutch to lean upon. But thank God we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of life, which quickens the Word of God to our heart, so that we may move into truth and revelation, so that we may be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this tape, that the speaking in other tongues is more than just to get a blessing. It's more than just to be blessed for half an hour to face darkness, the blue Mondays and so forth that come. That it's actually a gift of the Holy Ghost, which is great in tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. There's one thing the devil does not like for you to do, and that's the reason he's brought so much misunderstanding concerning speaking in other tongues. He doesn't like for you to speak in other tongues because he doesn't know what you're saying. He doesn't like for you to speak in other tongues because he knows that the Spirit of God is praying through you, and he's praying the prayer of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ will answer, and that you'll see miracles in the name of the Lord. I challenge every one of you that are listening to this tape, as soon or right now even, just to shut the tape off and to yield yourself. Begin to speak in other tongues. Get to the place. Don't just pray for your family. Don't just pray for your loved one. Don't just pray for your church. But allow the Spirit of God to begin to pray through you. And the Spirit of God will pray around the world. And you will understand by the Spirit, saints of God that have needs, others that are so bound, the Spirit of God will pray through you. And they will be liberated in the name of the Lord. I feel such faith, such anointing as I tell you this. And when you get to the place that you will realize the value of speaking in other tongues, you will see why the devil has so fought against this precious gift of God. All right, number 6. When we pray in other tongues, faith is always quickened. As we pray in this way, faith has to enter in because we are not in the realms of the natural. This raises us, as we mentioned, from the rut that we've been in from year for years and years. I would dare say if we would take the prayer requests that have been given in most congregations the last 20 years, that you could play a tape across the country, most of them would be the same. How many of those prayers have been answered that you've prayed in the natural? How many of those prayers have been answered that you've given a prayer request? And I say this, when you give a prayer request publicly, you know as well as I know, many people don't want to admit it, but you know as well as I know that most of the people in that congregation are not going to take that request to heart, and they're not going to take their secret closet. We mentioned in the ministry of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that we made on tape. Oh, saints of God, how we need to get to the place that we know the voice of God. How we need to get to the place that we know how to get a hold of the Lord. Not because somebody else gets a hold of the Lord for us, but because we know the keys to the kingdom of God. And we realize that the Lord has given us the keys of the kingdom, that we have the power to bind, that we have the power to loose, that we have the power to take dominion and authority because of the keys that God has given us by the Holy Ghost. And may I say this at this time, that speaking in other tongues is one of the precious keys to the kingdom of God. All right, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 we read, and number 7, when we speak in other tongues, we speak mysteries that we don't understand in the natural. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, and the only way that you can understand those mysteries is in the realm of the Spirit. May I say to you that as we mentioned the scripture a moment ago that is written in the book of Joel, where the Lord said, in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know the rest of the scriptures there. There are going to be many mysteries that are going to be revealed in these last days that the church did not have 40 years ago, that the church did not have 100 years ago, that the church did not have 10 years ago. The Spirit of God is ministering, and as people speak unto God, they're speaking mysteries that are only understood in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, beloved, may we get to the place that the eye salve might be removed from our eyes, that our ears might be opened, that we might hear by the Spirit of God, that we may begin to speak mysteries in the realm of the Spirit. The only way that you're going to do that is to get out of the realm of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit. I realize in many denominations, many Pentecostal groups for years, we've been warned, watch the flesh, be afraid of the flesh, guard against the flesh. I want to tell you that our churches and our denominations today are so being dominated by the flesh that we need to get out of the realm of the flesh, and we need to begin to speak to God in mysteries that only will come as we yield our members to the Holy Ghost. And the hardest member to yield to God is our tongue. And this is a reason that God has taken that we must get to the place that we yield every member, even that member which is the tongue, which is so hard to control, that we get to the place that we yield it to God. And we begin to speak in other tongues, mysteries that we don't understand, but they're mysteries by the Spirit of God. Oh, I believe that these are days of revelation. I believe that these are days of truth. I believe that these are days of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We've been considering so many petty doctrines of the past. We've allowed this doctrine and another doctrine to bring division among the children of God because we've been so in the realm of the flesh. Saints of God, I'm not afraid of people getting in the flesh. I'm concerned about them getting out of the flesh in the realm of the Spirit and to begin to speak mysteries that their minds, the natural minds, cannot understand except they're moving in the realm of the Spirit. Number 8, speaking in other tongues will lead us into rest. In Isaiah 28:11 and 12 we read, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. In Isaiah 28:11 and 12 we read, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Truly, in the rounds of daily life with all its weariness and toil, we need refreshing. We need rest. And may I say to you, how many saints of God do you know and that I know today that have actually entered into the rest of God. We may sing peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. We may get up and even with our words testify of rest. But when we know people and when they're confronted with situations, when the battle gets hard, how many of the saints of God actually have moved into the rest of the Lord? We may think that we have when we have good jobs. We may think that we have when our health is fine. We may think that we have when we have a lot of friends and when we're with groups of people. But saints of God, let your job be taken from you. Let you get to the place that you're no longer able to keep your home anymore. Let you get to the place that you're sick and weary in body physically. Let your friends turn against you. And how many of us have come to the place that we have received the rest of the Lord? And may I say, His rest is not dependent upon your financial circumstances. His rest is not dependent upon whether you have a job or not, or whether you're strong and well physically. But you have only entered into His rest because you have personally taken of the rest of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, as we read in Isaiah 28 and 11 and 12 that we've just read to you, He said, For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. Anytime in the Old Testament, when a person would start to have stammering lips, those that were in the presence of that person that had stammering lips knew that God was ready to speak. Because when God would speak to a prophet, when God would speak to somebody, before they would start to bring words of utterance that people could understand, first they would have stammering lips. And the people sitting in attendance would know that God was in the midst. And that God was going to speak, because the Spirit of God was moving upon that person in a stammering lips. Then the Word of God said, with a stammering and another tongue will He speak to this people. Now, any time that you're assembled together with a group of the saints, and a person will start to have stammering lips, and when they start to speak another tongue, be mindful that God is in the midst thereof, and that God is going to speak to other people. Many times Pentecostal people will begin to take speaking in other tongues lightly. Many times they will begin to take it for granted. And many times they'll think, oh, well, it's just another time so-and-so is going to speak another tongue. But let me tell you, when we get to the place that we realize that God never gives anything in vain, that God never does anything in vain, and that when you see a person with stammering lips, and when you hear a person begin to speak another tongue, you will know that that's a sign from God Himself that He's going to speak and that God is in the midst. Oh, how we need to return to the fear of God today. How we need to return to the power of God today and allow the Spirit of God to move upon us, that when we go away from a service, it will not be with such a light attitude that we can walk in sin, that we can just do the things that will please the flesh, that we can just continue to do the things that will bring division to the household of God, that when we get to the place that when a person will speak another tongue, we will set up and take notice and we'll say, God is in our midst. God is speaking to us. And whatever comes by the voice of the Lord, I'm going to be a recipient of that, and I'm going to walk in newness of life because God is in the midst thereof. Listen, He said to whom? He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Do you feel tired and weary physically? Do you feel worn out spiritually? Could it be that you have not taken time to speak in other tongues to be refreshed? Could it be if you are so tired and weary and worn out both bodily and spiritually, could it be that you have not taken time to receive of the rest of the Lord? Now, I believe this scripture is just as real as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that this scripture in Isaiah 28 and 11, 12 is just as real as the scripture that I've quoted to you. I believe that there is a place of rest for the children of God. For Isaiah the prophet said, to whom he said, this is the rest. Do you desire of the rest of the Lord today? Do you desire of the peace of the Lord today? Do you desire to come away from all of those things that worry you, from all of those things that will cause you to be so weary and that you feel that you cannot go on? Do you desire the refreshing from the Lord? Listen, if you do, there's one way that you can receive, and that is just to take time to speak in other tongues. This is the way that is given by the Word of God. Now, I admonish you, don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until the next revival service. Don't wait until you listen to another tape. But listen, when the Spirit of God moves upon your heart concerning spiritual matters, move in instantly and be a recipient of that which God has spoken. Now, in the ninth one that we're going to consider, tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 22 we read, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Now many times people say, well, you believe that people should speak in other tongues when there are unbelievers there, when there are people that are not saved there. Don't you think many times people say that tongues should be for the prayer meeting on Wednesday night? Or if so-and-so is going to speak in other tongues, people say, don't you think that we should send them to the basement 1,000 times? No. The Word of God says that tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. And you know as well as I know, and I use this phrase many times in our meetings that is not understood by people, tongues are a sign to the unbelieving believers. I believe there are about as many unbelieving believers as there are believing believers. Signs, speaking in other tongues, is a supernatural sign from God. You've known of cases, I've known of cases when there have been absolutely unbelievers in a service, people that haven't even understood salvation as much as receiving or understanding the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody will speak out in a tongues message, and without the congregation knowing it, this has been the very language that this person will speak, and it's been a sign to the unbeliever. Many times we've seen small children in the natural, 2 and 3 and 4 years old, that you couldn't teach them to speak a language in the natural, but they will yield themselves to God, and they will speak in another tongue. This is a sign to the unbeliever. I believe that there should be the operation of the gift of speaking in tongues, whether there are 90% unbelievers there, as well as 100% believers. Tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. And I realize the natural man and the natural organization has said, oh, the unsaved will not understand, the unbeliever will not understand. Listen, let's take the Word of God. And the Word of God, as I've given you the scripture here, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 22, it says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." For them that believe not, begin to exercise your right in God. We too long have said, well, so-and-so is in the service, and they won't understand. They're from another group that doesn't speak in other tongues, so I'm not going to speak in other tongues because it might bring offense to them. All right, do we believe the Word of God, or don't we believe the Word of God? All right, it said if we do believe the Word of God, that tongues are a sign to the unbeliever, that things that are so hard for us, we're not willing. So many ministers, so many leaders are not willing to put their own program aside and to allow the Spirit of God to move. I was once in a service. I was asked to lead the song service in a certain denomination, and I was asked by the divisional superintendent. He said, don't allow the Spirit of God to begin to move until we get through with our skit, until we get through with our program. And he says, after we get through, then he said it will be all right to allow the Spirit of God to begin to move. Can you actually imagine anything that is such nonsense? Listen, saints of God, it's about time we put our skits aside. It's about time we put our programs aside. It's about time that we allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate, and even speaking in other tongues, for it is a sign to the unbeliever. If you have home meetings, and you say, well, people come that they don't understand speaking in other tongues, don't you hold back your speaking in other tongues. If you go to a service where they don't understand speaking in other tongues, listen, don't be afraid to allow God to speak through you, because there will be more accomplished in the realm of the Spirit in a minute's time that you can accomplish for months and even for years in the realm of the natural. After all, the Word of God tells us that no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. All right, number 10. When you speak in another tongue, it is the most glorious way to praise God. Tongues open the fountain, and out of the innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. It may begin as an almost imperceptible trickle and become a mighty river. The secret lies in sacrificial praise, the fruit of our lips. In Hebrews 13 and 15, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. All right, as we've mentioned, speaking in another tongue is a tremendous way to praise God. The Word of God says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Many times, as we've mentioned, when you get down to pray, the heavens may seem as brass. Many times when you get down to pray, you may feel, oh God, what can I pray about? Lord, I don't feel like praying. Listen, in times like this, don't just keep struggling in the natural in your praying, but begin to speak forth in praises in another tongue unto God, and remember that God inhabits the praises of his people. And what does that mean? That God dwells in the praises of his people. And when you will choose to praise God, you actually set up a dwelling place for God, and this means in your own life also. And instead of just doing it in the natural, instead of just saying, well, praise the Lord, and over again in the rut that we've been for many years, you begin to exercise the gift of tongues that is in you and begin to praise God in other tongues. And as you do this, instead of asking God for this and asking God for something else, you actually create a place for God to dwell in your life. You create a place for God to dwell in your midst. And as you know that God is dwelling in your life, as God is dwelling in your midst, you know that prayers are going to be answered, because again, you will have to say, oh God, would you come and do this? God, would you do something else? Because you know that where God is, there is always miracles. And when God is in your life, there are going to be miracles in your life. When God is in the congregation, there's going to be miracles in the congregation. When God is in a nation, there is going to be miracles in the congregation. Oh saints, that we might learn to praise God. We've said many times, oh, we come to the house of God for one purpose, and that is to get saints, to get sinners saved. Let me tell you, according to the Word of God, when we come to the house of God, we come for the sole purpose of praising God. And as we will be faithful in our praises to God, as we will be faithful in giving him the fruit of our lips, I tell you, God will be faithful in pouring out of his Spirit, that again conviction may grip the hearts of unbelievers, that conviction may grip the hearts of those that are not in fellowship with God, that conviction will grip the hearts of those that are not walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will be faithful in praising God. Many times people say, well, if we praise God again, they'll say it will be so noisy, people won't understand. It's going to drive the sinners away. You know as well as I know, in most congregations, they're not filled with sinners anymore. You know there's been such a lack of the move of God that people are staying home watching television and doing something else because they are not being fed on the Word of God. You know as well as I know that they're not touched by the Spirit of God. And unless the Spirit of God will do something in the heart, unless something will be born of the Holy Ghost, no matter what you do, no matter what I do, it's not going to accomplish anything anyway. So when we come to the house of God, if we will walk in and in into his courts with praise and thanksgiving, as we will forget about trying to please this one and trying to please something else, as we will move in and praise him, whether we feel like it or not, heaven will be open. God's power will move upon the people of God. The Word of God will become alive. The Spirit of God will quicken truth to our hearts. We will literally be in the presence of God, that we will want to walk to please the Lord. We will bring the flesh low. We will get to the place we'll know what it is to crucify the flesh. We will get to the place that we will know what it is to walk in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit, so that we will not fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh and of this life. Listen, saints of God, if we wait in quietness before the Lord, he begins to minister to us by the gifts of the Spirit that are resident in everyone that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And for this reason, we need quiet times in every service so that the Lord may have opportunity to minister to us by his Spirit. Now, it takes time for God to move. We're so used to coming to his services, we sing three songs, we have a choir number, we have somebody else do something else, we have somebody else do something else. And how many services do you know of that time is given for God to move? As I began to move in this direction 7 or 8 years ago, when God moved upon me in such a supernatural way, and I have a tape that I'm just putting out on my own testimony of how after being saved in a Pentecostal church at the age of 7 and in the ministry, Pentecostal ministry for years and years, how I began to seek God for 7 months and how God moved upon me in 7 months that I've never been the same since. I've seen God move in a sovereign way since that time that I'd never realized was possible. Why? Because I came to the place that I was sick of the old ways and I wanted God to do it by His Spirit. So if you're interested in that tape, you can write to this same address that I've given you here, and I'm sure the tape will be a blessing to you. Listen, we're used to coming to the services. We're used to keeping busy, everybody doing something, busy, busy, busy. If you want God to move in the service, you have to take time to allow God to move. If you want the gifts of God to operate, you can't just keep talking, just keep singing, just keep doing something. But there should be quiet time in every gathering for the saints to move in tongues, in interpretation, in prophecy, in singing another tongue, in the casting out of demons, in the travail, for the ministry of the Spirit to come forth. You will only grow as you give out of that which is God has given you. So many of us are the place I call them unemployed believers. We're used to just sitting. We say, that's a wonderful sermon. That was a wonderful song. And we go home, but what do we do about it? Listen, we need to come to the place. You have the life of Christ within you. You have the Spirit of God within you. We need to get to the place that we give out life. We give out the Spirit of God. We give out the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We impart love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the only way that the saints can exercise doing this is by coming together and having quiet time so that as a person will feel inspired to give a message, they will speak out in the message. As a person will feel inspired to prophesy, they will prophesy in the name of the Lord. As a saint will begin to worship God in singing another tongue, in singing in the Spirit, that there will be a time given so that they can worship God in speaking and singing in other tongues. If you want God to move, you have to allow quiet time, even in a gathering or a gospel meeting, give the Lord a place to move. Now again, may I say, if you want to have the refreshing from the Lord, if you want to receive of His rest, of His peace, you're going to have to discipline your own life and take time to be holy and wait upon the Lord. And you're going to have to begin to be a doer of the Word and not hearers only. Now, it's one thing to hear the tape on speaking in other tongues, and it will be another thing for you to be a doer of the Word, not waiting until some more opportune time, but right now for you to go before the Lord, to begin to speak in praises unto the Lord in other tongues, to begin, even if you don't feel like it or not, forget about your problem, forget about your situation, and allow the Spirit of God to begin to make intercession through you with groaning that you do not understand. Saints of God, if you will come to this place, you will begin to grow by leaps and bounds. Now, many times people say, well, there's such a misunderstanding on speaking in other tongues. I realize that, and you know that even in Paul's day that there was much murmuring, there was much bickering, there were many questions that were asked about speaking in other tongues. And you know, it is such an important subject. You know what Paul did? Paul took almost one entire chapter on teaching on speaking in other tongues. For most of 1 Corinthians 14 is given on speaking in other tongues and the necessity of it. Now, if it were not so important, why would he have taken an entire chapter? Old peoples will say, well, I would rather have the fruits of the Spirit. I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. Listen, I'm a believer in the fruits of the Spirit, but I'm also a firm believer on the ministry of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And don't take the attitude, well, I can take them, I can leave them if I want to, because realize, as I've spoken before, that Paul realized the importance of speaking in other tongues, for he devoted an entire chapter almost to the teaching of speaking in other tongues. He didn't do it concerning prophecy. He didn't do it concerning the gift of faith. He didn't do it concerning the other gift, but he saw the importance of it and realized that this is a one spiritual gift that is listed in the 9 that is given for your own personal use, and it is for the edifying of the believer so that you may be able to move on deeper in the things of the Holy Ghost. The statement made to remove the eye salve from your eyes should be, remove the blindness from your eyes by anointing your eyes with eye salve. And the scripture is Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.
LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.